welcome to this edition of the Double Take Live Broadcast Instant Replay, hosted by Randy and Donnie Vaughn, the marketing twins at 1429 Creative. You'll find us at the ultimate marketing blog, marketingtwins.com, or on our website, 1429creative.com. And it's there that you can go and find out why we named our company 1429. Now today we'll be interviewing Stephanie Brown Trafton, a recent gold medal winner in the 2008 Beijing Olympics. And we're going to hear some exciting things, things like when you pull back that curtain and you find out what goes on behind the scenes. You'll hear some of the things that go on in the Olympic Village, and even why Stephanie chose this year in the Beijing Olympics not to attend the opening ceremonies. Now, as a believer in Christ, you'll also hear Stephanie share the inspiration that she finds in passages such as Joshua 1:9 and Philippians 4:13. You know, God has given each one of us a story, but also a platform in which to share His glory with people. And you know, Stephanie knows well that this is a moment in time that she has the power to influence, the story to encourage, and the dream in which to inspire others to live to their very fullest and to live for God. So now, would you join us as the Marketing Twins interview Stephanie Brown Trafton?
When she was just 4 years old, growing up in Oceana, California, Stephanie Brown Trafton was inspired to become an Olympian herself after watching the 1984 Olympics, seeing Mary Lou Retton compete, and I know many of us remember that. That led Stephanie down a path where Stephanie excelled in athletics, primarily basketball and track and field. And in 1996, she became the California High School state champion in the shot put. After high school, she attended college on a scholarship at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. I hope I said that right. She unfortunately had she tore her ACL and ended up ending her basketball career. And that's where Stephanie returned to focus on the track and field portion of her career, and that's where she later earned 6 NCAA All-American honors in both the indoor and outdoor events. In 2004, Stephanie competed in the Athens Olympics in both the shot put and the discus event. Now, while she was unable to make the finals of that particular Olympics, I know from talking with Stephanie earlier that the Athens, Greece event was a great experience as a first-time Olympian. Now, of course, in 2008, just recently, Stephanie made the Olympic team that was headed for Beijing, and it was there on a warm, muggy August 18th night on her very first and only throw that Stephanie earned a gold medal for a discus throw of 212 feet, 5 inches. And with that gold medal, Stephanie earned what was, at the time, America's first gold medal in the track and field in Beijing. And even more impressive is that she is America's first woman's discus champion since Lillian Copeland won that in 1932. And that's 76 years that span between those two. So that's exciting. Now, on a more personal side, Stephanie is a recreational hunter, and she loves to be involved with organizations that help children. Stephanie is active in her local governing body for track and field. It's called the Pacific Association, and where she lobbies for funding for athletes. Stephanie is married to probably her number one fan and a great supporter, her husband Jerry, and they currently reside in Galt, California, which is located just south of Sacramento. And Stephanie and Jerry have been married for 3.5 years. Now, I wanted to take a moment to read something from Stephanie's personal testimony before I bring her on, because I think it'll set the tone for what we're going to talk about today. Here's what she said. She said, "I've always been taught that reality was only what could be seen, heard, or touched. Acting on faith was a big step for me. I asked God to help me in my unbelief, and He started working in my life in ways that I could no longer ignore. The more steps I took in His direction, the clearer the path became, until I finally found His prize, His love, which was the ultimate eternal gift. I knew I'd found purpose that most of us seek." And I think that's great. And with that being said, let me just say that we are certainly thrilled and honored to talk to Stephanie today, who, by the way, is fresh from her second trip to the White House. So, Stephanie, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much. It's It's great to be talking to you guys, and I almost feel like I'm talking to Taylor Hicks from American Idol. I love your guys' accent.
Hey, by the way, I saw a video this morning where you were talking about, I think you were being interviewed on the front lawn of the White House. You were talking about what it was like to shake hands with the president. So what was that like about meeting the president? Tell us about shaking his hand. There's something kind of funny about that.
Well, the only thing that I could remember from that is just his hands were so soft. I don't know what he did. I don't know. He's probably got some manicurist or something. But he just really had soft hands. I'm used to I have calluses because I work out with weights and I work out with, you know, working outside, and with the discus I have calluses. So it's just interesting to be shaking the president's hand because he's got such soft hands.
Well, I never really thought about that. I guess you assume that, but that's good. I wonder if how much he has to pay for those manicures or something. I don't know.
Oh, I have no idea. Someone made a comment though. They said it's probably that Texan oil.
Yeah.
He certainly has some experience in that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. We certainly want to spend some time talking today about your faith and the role that has played in your life, and you and I have spent some time talking about that recently. But before we begin, I think it'd be neat to kind of pull back the curtain, if you will, on what life is like as an Olympic athlete. I think many of us on the call, I would even venture to say I've ever dreamed about becoming an Olympic athlete, and I know probably a lot of people haven't thought that. But so we're kind of fascinated. We hear about an Olympic athlete, and we hear about this Olympic village, and there's an assumption on my part, and probably some people on the call too, that most of you and your fellow athletes would spend most of your time there in this Olympic village, whatever this mysterious Olympic village is. But I know from you and I talking a couple of weeks ago that that's not exactly the case. So if you would, tell our listeners a little bit about this Beijing University and the training camp where you and others spent some time training, if you would.
All right. The Olympic Village is a place that all of the athletes from all of the countries go to basically just stay while they're in Beijing and while they're competing, and it's a great place because it's got so many different. It's like a tiny little city. It's got a bank. It's got a hair salon, general store, obviously souvenir store for the Olympic souvenirs, and dining hall, and you know, meeting rooms and internet cafes, and you know, so it's just like a little tiny city, and there's so much activity going on there, basically at all hours of the day. So the United States and probably other countries have like a little home away from home, kind of on their own. And for the United States, that was the Beijing Normal University. So what the United States did is they basically rented out this entire university for the weeks of the Olympics, and we were able to go there to eat meals if we wanted to, and train and use their facilities to practice, and so that was a good little respite from the height, you know, the activity of the Olympic Village. And the United States track and field team specifically had a training camp that was about an hour away from Beijing on a flight, an hour flight. And we went there for a couple weeks before going to Beijing to sort of acclimatize to the weather and just kind of get used to China before we went into Beijing and had all this distraction of the Olympic Village.
Yeah, I find that fascinating because it just totally against what I thought. I had this envision of what you guys did. Now, I know that something else that, again, I assumed, and with a couple of exceptions, has to do with the opening ceremonies. Now, those of us who watched the opening ceremonies, I think, could probably say that most of us were amazed by this event. But I know from talking with you that not everybody from the United States Olympic team attends those opening ceremonies. And I knew a few people hadn't because they even talked about it on TV. But tell us a little bit about why you and other athletes chose not to attend those opening ceremonies, and tell us a little bit about that.
In Beijing, I didn't attend the opening ceremonies, but I'll talk about that. But I also want to put in a word that I was in the 2004 Olympics and was able to experience the opening ceremony in Athens. And that experience is such a great experience. And actually, if you talk to most Olympians, you ask them what they remember most, and they do say that the Olympic ceremony, or the opening ceremony, is what they remember most and what was their best experience. So it was a really a hard decision for me, and I had been thinking about it for several months beforehand. Even though I wasn't chosen to be on the team until July, I still had a good, I was planning to make the team. So I had to think about that several months ahead and kind of make my decision. And I decided not to participate in the Beijing Olympic opening ceremony because it really takes a toll on the body, because you have to stand up for about 6 or 7 hours total, and including the time that you go to the stadium and you're, I mean, there's 200-plus countries, and all these countries have to be orchestrated, you know, in which order they walk into the stadium. So it takes quite a long time. And then once you're in the stadium, it takes about 4 hours for the ceremony to get over. So it's definitely, it takes a toll on your body. And a lot of athletes compete the next day, so they choose not to participate. They participate in their own little ways, like the track and field team, that the athletes that did not go. We stayed at the training camp, and we had, you know, we had a party, we had cake, we watched it on television, and, you know, a lot of us wore our opening ceremony outfits just to watch the TV. So it was kind of a party in itself. So we did participate just in our own ways, and left our bodies available to train.
Well, that's great. That was such a fascinating opening ceremony. We watched it with our kids, and we pointed out different countries, and some of them they had heard of, and some of them they had not. And that was just it was really just so dramatic in a lot of the ways that they did that. So
there's so many countries that you never even heard of, and
oh, I know.
It's just amazing. It's like, wow, I didn't know they existed.
You know, my family used to live in Benin, West Africa, and we were so excited. We came back from, I think they came back from a commercial, and, you know, they're always highlighting the bigger countries, but then right as soon as they were coming back from the commercial, they had on the screen this little small delegation. I think there was 5 people on the delegation from Benin, West Africa. I'm sure most people watching had no clue, but all our kids were standing up screaming and excited, so that was really fun for us. One of the things, Stephanie, that I know from Donnie talking to you beforehand, how the role of scripture that it plays in your life, and but one scripture that Donnie mentioned that played a particular role in your time in Beijing was Joshua 1:9, and I would like you to tell all the participants on the call what was so special about that verse.
Well, I had been participating in some Bible studies, and not only at the training camp where we were, that was an hour away, but also in the Olympic Village, we have chaplains that do all the organizing work for setting up the Bible studies, and we can also set up Bible studies in our own particular sports groups. But one of the chaplains, whose name's Madeline Mims. And she is, I think she was a 400-meter runner back in the 1970s, like 76 Olympics, maybe 82. No, 80 was a boycott. Who knows. But she was a gold medalist in her event, and she came back to be a chaplain for the athletes in 2004 and 2008. And she had the song that she sang for us, and part of the Bible study was singing a few songs before we started reading scripture. And one of the songs was based on the Joshua 1:9 scripture. And that was one of my favorites coming in, because, there's so many things in life that kind of seem like they're impossible and seem like they're, it would just never work out. But the scripture says that I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So, and my emphasis on that scripture was the can part. Whether or not I will have the outcome that I want is not up to me, but I know that it is possible. You know, I can do something if it's the Lord's will. So the song that she sang was based on the scripture, and I actually used that song to sing for me, to sing on while I was competing, because songs help you relax you a little bit. So I was singing the song and thinking about the scripture, and it really helped me to relax.
Well, that's great. Now, you mentioned the Joshua 1:9, if I remember, is this the one that talks about just to have courage and don't be discouraged? And I'm trying to remember how it says it in the NIV version, but I mean, I think that's a great inspirational verse. And then, am I right? Is that, I know when we lived in Africa, that was, songs were such an important part, because they really do are a way to inspire, to have you, in kind of almost, it's a way of memorizing the scripture. So when you get to that point and you are in those moments where you're terrified and discouraged, or you're facing a battle, that, to remind you to be strong and courageous is such a strong
word. Okay. So I was talking about Philippians. I'm sorry.
So the 1:9, the one about being strong and courageous, that was a song that you sang?
Right,
is that
right? The one I was talking about was Philippians. Right. So yeah, be strong, for the Lord my God is with me. Yeah, that's. I mean, these are all. I guess so many of the gospel songs we sing. Obviously, all the gospel songs we sing are from Scripture. But it's just so cool because we have all of these songs to our disposal, and we don't have music actually out on the field. They don't allow CD players or MP3 players. So we definitely have to sing to ourselves.
You said they don't allow that? I picture Michael Phelps up there with his little headset on. Is that different than on the track and field?
Yes, track and field.
Really?
No headsets are allowed on the field of competition because I believe it's a safety issue. Like if some javelin thrower was had a javelin that was kind of out of place, then you would need to, you would want to hear somebody yell heads up.
Okay. that would make sense.
Yeah.
All right, Donna, you had another question.
Yeah, and Stephanie, I want to get back to you on that Philippians verse here in just a little bit, but when you talk about things that inspire you, I know your mother passed away when you were really young, so you drew you some inspiration from your wonderful father and now your husband. So talk to me about, and talk to our listeners about how important your dad was growing up and what he means to you now and the role that Jerry plays in your life as your husband.
Well, growing up, like you said, my mom died when I was very young, so my dad raised my brother and I, and along with, our entire community, it definitely takes a village for somebody to be successful at this level. Even from a child, there was so many teachers and coaches that were, around that had such, they had such an effect on me in a good way, just to inspire me to do my best. But growing up in a single parent family is difficult no matter what. So it was a great thing to be able to look back and see where I came from and know that that it's possible to come from the adverse circumstances of just having a single parent and become successful as an adult.
That's great. I know that there are many people in their circumstances that are inspired by that, and that's wonderful. I think Randy's got some questions he wants to ask you about your life there in Beijing as well.
You talked about, Stephanie, the Bible studies that you were involved with, and tell us kind of about a little bit more about, that. I guess when I think about that, that's not what I think about when I think about the Olympics in China. I mean, so I think a lot of our listeners would be fascinated to hear how did you go about organizing those Bible studies, and what other opportunities did you have to share your faith, to show God's love to other athletes or maybe people in Beijing?
For a long time before the Olympics, there have been lots of speculation that we would not be able to bring in Bibles to China. And there was rumors going around, and those rumors were false. We were able to bring in Bibles and some material for Bible studies. I brought in my suitcase, I packed three or four Bibles for the athletes that didn't have theirs, as well as some study guide, some scriptural study guide material. So, you know, I didn't know for sure if I was going to get, you know, searched or anything like that, but I brought it anyway, knowing that the least they could do was just throw it away if they wanted to. So, but I kind of took that chance, and you know, there was no problem getting in. They you know, there was no searching of the bags or anything like that. So, but we when I first got to the training camp, I kind of was on my own, it seemed like, because the people that I talked to about setting up Bible study were, they didn't say no, but they didn't really say yes, and nobody was really willing to help out until I talked to our activities director. Her name is Sharifa, and Sharifa is a believer, and she was really excited about the opportunity to set up some Bible studies for the athletes. And we made posters, and we came up with times and dates that would be acceptable to both the training schedules of the athletes and the limitations for the facilities that we were using. So it was just a matter of choosing a time and a day. And so we actually received some pretty high turnout comparatively. About 12 athletes showed up to the second meeting. The first meeting was kind of just, it was not organized very well. We didn't have the right room, so we had to switch rooms, and there's only a few athletes showed up. But the second meeting, we had about 12 athletes that showed up, and some of them were new believers. So, you know, this was the first time that they'd been able to kind of share their story with their fellow athletes. And so it was a great opportunity to reach out to the athletes and show them that even though we're thousands of miles away from home, we can still gather together in His name.
Yeah, that is great. And this is one of those aspects that we focus so much on the competition, and a lot of times, even when you watch the media, you know, coverage of it, sometimes it's so much of it is obviously focused on the competition aspect. And you do get to hear some stories, you know, individual athletes get to share their story. But to know that is going on is such an encouragement to all of us. And what a great thing that you did to go in and take that risk. And you didn't back down, and you just decided to, you know, I'm going to take the risk, and I'm going to go in there. And if I get searched or something, you know, God's going to be with me. But you did it anyway, and God honors that. And then just to open up the scriptures with other athletes, I think is just a cool thing that went on that none of us would ever know about. And I'm so glad you're on today to tell us about that, and to testify that God's word was being was really the inspiration behind so many athletes there. And what a great thing that you were there to share that with them.
Right, and I actually heard that out of the core group of athletes that showed up regularly to these Bible studies, all of them but one actually medaled at the Olympic Games.
Wow, cool.
I'm not saying that there's a correlation there, but I definitely think that our fellowship and our encouragement of each other really helped out in our performances as well.
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, it seems like there would just be such a, I don't know, I guess I just also imagine because of that emphasis on competition that some of the athletes, even if they're experienced and even if they're well-trained, there's got to be such a pressure in a way to perform and to then have them in a study of the scripture where they're being reminded that it's, you know, that God's working through them. And just like you said, that fellowship with other athletes has got to be set to take, you know, play such a role in really kind of relaxing the athlete and allow them to do their very best.
Yes, definitely is. And one of the athletes who actually started taking over the leadership role of the Bible study, because I was the one who kind of started it going and set it up, but I'm not very gifted at actually leading the group, as it were. So the athlete that kind of came to the forefront in leading the group, he had decided this year that he was going to be a pastor. So this was his opportunity to kind of come out and start you know, learning how to basically lead a group of people and inspire them as well.
That's great. And And I wanted to go back, Stephanie, if we can. You started talking about Philippians 4:13, and I think there's a lot of people on the call that probably know that, yes, that verse talks about I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I know I have seen that verse listed on a poster, maybe in a Christian bookstore or maybe on somebody's wall, and they focus so much on the strength part, and they talk about this goes great with athletes and so forth. But you have a different take to that, and you were going to talk a little bit, and you mentioned it earlier, but I want to focus a little time on what part of that verse that you like to focus on and how that verse came about and the role that your dad had in challenging you on some things. So talk to our listeners about that.
Well, yeah, actually, okay, so I spent the Joshua 1:9 talking about Philippians, so maybe we should switch it around again. No, just kidding. No, but definitely, yeah, what I spoke before about the verse, that it encompasses what has happened to me this year. At the beginning of this year, I did not believe that I could win a medal. I did not believe that I could throw an American record, which I haven't quite yet. But I just didn't believe it. I told everybody that was my goal, but I really didn't believe it in my heart. And then, my dad was very persistent with me he was kind of trying to bring it out of me, to tell him, you know, what my motivation was this year. And he actually tried to inspire me too with a cashier's check. He said that if I was going to throw 220 or 200 feet, or was it, no, 220 feet, he would write me a check for something like $2,267. I don't know, the numbers kind of correlated with the 220 feet number. So, and I, you know, I told him, well, I'm not really motivated by money, so I don't know if that's going to work. But he, you know, that was just one of his ways to try to motivate me. But, you know, I finally admitted to him that I really didn't believe that it would happen. And he was kind of shocked because he didn't understand why I would be trying to do something if I didn't believe it was going to happen. So, you know, that really helped me to open my eyes, and I started praying about it and reading scripture and just trying to figure out what my motivation was for this year. And God put the scripture on my heart that is really widely used with athletes. Like you said, it's up on posters, but it never really hit me before. But it just hit me that the most important thing to me about that scripture was that I can do something if God wills it. You know, it's possible. He can make the impossible possible. So what I thought was impossible, he was planning on making it possible for me. So that opened up a lot more doors for me to work harder and kind of focus my efforts on the things that I was passionate about, which was, you know, performing well this year so I could go to the Olympics and hopefully win a medal. And, you know, obviously looking back on it, it was just all part of the grand plan that he had for me. So now I have like a platform that I can speak to people about that. So I think that was part of the plan as well.
I think God certainly had a hand in that, and that is certainly great. Well, before we let you go, I know that many of people are probably wondering, so what does an Olympic athlete who wins the gold medal, what does she do now? And so tell us a little bit about, are there any activities that you're going to be doing, anywhere that we could see you on TV, anything out there where people could find you? Tell us a little about what life looks like for you in the next.
Well, I actually, in the past few weeks, it's been a big increase of activity for me in terms of being on interviews as well as doing events like going to the White House and with the Olympic team and meeting the president and doing the press conference at the White House. I'm going to be at the Women's Sports Foundation Awards Banquet, which is in New York City next Tuesday. And I will be appearing at several of my local elementary schools and high schools, as well as conferences for athletic administrators, as well as What else? I think I'm going to be doing some autograph sessions in my local area as well. It just depends on my schedule. But I know my schedule is very full for the next few months. I did take some time off for Thanksgiving, though, because my family always goes to Tahoe for Thanksgiving. So I was invited to be in some of the Christmas parades, but because they're the Thanksgiving weekend, I told them that I need some time to relax. So I'll be taking that time off, and then it's a really exciting time for me, and it's kind of unfortunate that the excitement over the Olympics comes around only every 4 years, but. Now, I really have to take advantage of that excitement while it's here, because in the next few months, the kind of excitement dies away. So we kind of go back to being in the shadows. So it's good to be out in the light right now, so we can, we can have our platform to speak.
Now, I understand you have plans that you want to compete in the 2012 Games in London. Is that right?
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. My mother's British. My mother died when I was small, but she's British and her family is all over there. It would be very exciting for me to go and have my other side of my Atlantic side family, being able to watch me compete.
Well, that's right. And for us, it's something to look forward to. It's kind of like we have 4 years to cheer you on, I guess.
I hope so. Yeah, it would be a very interesting experience. I definitely take it year by year, because in my sport there's just so many opportunities for injury, and you really never know what's around the corner. So you really have to pay attention to your body and keep from injury. And I work with several people to help that out as well, a physical therapist and my sports trainer, massage therapist. So it definitely takes a village to make an elite athlete be able to compete.
I've just been so encouraged to hear your testimony and hear the ways that God has used you. But you know what? And I think I was talking this before we started. It's been so neat to hear how your husband, your dad, those men encouraged you and inspired you. And now you are, and like you said, God has given you a platform now to inspire and encourage others. And we certainly want to thank you for spending some time with us today. And know you've got a busy schedule, but we just wanted to encourage you to go out and take advantage of that platform. We know that just from talking to you, we can tell you're not somebody who is there to take all the glory. You want to give that glory to God, and we want to encourage you to just do that and go with God and let Him lead you every step of the way and every venue that you have. Opportunity, we know He's going to speak through you and to inspire other people. And we hope that this interview, maybe it gets downloaded and played back a number of other times, we hope other people will be inspired to live for God, to trust in God, to know that, just as you said, that God can do so many things through us. And using those Philippian verses and the ones from Joshua to know that with God's help, we can do remarkable things, we can do great things, and we can do courageous things. And we're thankful that you came on the call today.
Thank you. Yeah, you did mention my husband, and I realized that I hadn't been able to thank him as well. And I know that people listening to this call have some of them have support from their husbands and wives, and some of them have support from fathers and mothers, and some of them don't seem like they feel like they have support at all. But it really makes a difference to have somebody, whether or not it's a husband or parents or even your kids. If you can just rely on somebody to be there for you when you come home at the end of the day, to just talk to or just talk on the phone or it's that relationship that really helps solidify success, not only in the personal level but also in the business world too.
I'm so thankful for the scripture of Philippians 4:13. Aren't you? The reality that because God believes in us, we can do all things through Christ because He gives us strength. I hope you're encouraged today, encouraged to go for that dream, go for that gold medal in your life. But also remember, you might be the Mary Lou Retton who encourages or inspires someone else to live out their dream. Or maybe you're like her dad or her husband who come alongside of her to encourage her Maybe you have someone in your life who you can come alongside of and stand next to and cheer on as they achieve their dreams. We trust you've enjoyed the interview with Stephanie Brown Trafton. And as we go today, I want to leave you with Joshua 1:9, where it says, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. Now, go out and do greater things."
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord.